Tonight we're continuing where we started or left off last week. We actually started a series last Sunday night about serving Christ in our older age. There are a lot of scriptures that address the subject, even though it seems like maybe we don't look at it as a topic like that. And I don't think I've ever taught a series particularly on that, so I'm trying to remedy that because we can learn a lot from what God teaches in His Word about some of the particular issues, challenges, opportunities that are there for older Christians. And we all need to be aware of those things and those teachings, so that's what we are seeking to do. And last Sunday night we were looking at some scriptures about the history of the lifespan of man on this earth, and the fact that according to Psalm 90, we read verses 1 through 12 there, that we have that psalm by Moses or inspired through Moses. It tells us that our lifespan now, or from that point to now, is 70 years, or by reason of strength, 80, 70 to 80 years. And that remains the situation today. And so we can see that what the number is and has been for quite some time as far as age is concerned. But we have a lot of examples in the scriptures of those who were diligent and faithful servants of God in their older years, whatever that lifespan happened to be at the time that they did live. And we also saw a number of scriptures that show how those who are older are worthy of our honor and respect, and especially those that are walking in the way of righteousness. And we're actually wanting to begin tonight from that particular point. And we want to read again from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 32. Leviticus 19, 32. This was God's commandment to the Israelites in the Old Testament. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So God was commanding His people to honor those that were among them of their nation that were older. That word hoary, the H-O-A-R-Y there, is gray. And we see that same term used in Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Proverbs 16, 31. And of course, these are teachings of God's wisdom here, and this is applicable to any time, including our time. But Proverbs 16:31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." And so there's the particular attribute that makes one who is older to be worthy of honor when one is older in years and they have been serving their God and walking in righteousness. That does deserve our honor. And of course, we know that's the Bible word for honor, to give weight or value to. And we should esteem or hold very valuable to us those that are older in the faith, those that are walking in righteousness in their older years. Now, from that point, we want to consider what those who are in their older years are able to do in their service to God. Now, having just read that as they're walking in righteousness, they're worthy of honor, and it's not based strictly in what they have done and how they've lived up to that point. What about what they're doing now? What about what they're doing with the time God gives them now in their older years? Well, let's turn to John chapter 15. And in this particular chapter, at the outset, Jesus is teaching a parable that He is the vine. It's not really a parable other than, of course, that He's invoking these images of a vine and a husbandman. He's the vine, as it says in verse 1, "I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And then He's going to teach how we are branches, but that's going to get to the point of what makes one to be able to glorify God and to be a true disciple of the Lord, and that's in bearing fruit for Him. But let's read that from John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now just consider what he said right there, what his purpose is for working with the branches and purging them, that they would bear more fruit. Well, those that are older in Christ, have they been bearing fruit? Is the Lord ready for that to stop? Or is he still working with them and desiring for even more fruit to be produced for him? We can see that there. Verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, what's the age limit for that? When does that expire? When do those teachings and those principles cease to be? At what age? Is there ever retirement from being a branch in that vine? And of course, the answer is no, there's not. And it's the Lord's desire that we continue to be fruitful to him, to glorify God and to be his disciple and bearing more fruit as long as we're here, as long as it's the Lord's will for us to be here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 teaches more about bearing fruit and how we do that. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So there we see again about bearing fruit for him and how he wants us to walk worthy of him unto all pleasing and to be fruitful in every good work. Every commandment of God that we have the opportunity to obey each and every day is an opportunity to bear fruit for him. And he wants us to be doing that. And again, that's going to be something that we continue to do however old we are. We need to. Well, let's look at Psalm 92 as he will specifically apply this principle to those who are old in years. Psalm 92, we want to read verses 13 through 15 there. Psalm 92, verses 13 through 15. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So what is the Lord's desire for his children? Again, just like we read in John 15, Colossians 1, to glorify him by bearing fruit. And is it the Lord's will for any one of his children to ever stop doing that? As long as we are physically, mentally, whatever, capable of serving the Lord, we need to be doing that. As long as the Lord has us here, there's work for us to do for him, fruit to be produced, and he says we will still bring forth fruit in old age. And so we want to explore that and look at many of the things the Lord teaches and how we can do that. Let's turn to Psalm 37, and we'll see one of those. Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. Psalm 37, 25 and 26. He says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Well, there we see one of the ways that those who are older can bear fruit. Here, this one, the psalmist, and this is David, who obviously was in his advanced years at the time this particular psalm was inspired through him. But here he is teaching what he knows and understands from the will of God, and by his experience, what he has seen as God has been faithful in his works to fulfill his promises. Can someone who is older in the faith be able to do that? Will they know? Will they have the experience? Will they have the knowledge, the wisdom to be able to teach others those things that they have learned? And why should that ever stop? And it shouldn't. And so there we see an example there, David bearing fruit in his older years in that way, in that psalm. Well, let's turn to Psalm 71, and we want to look at verses 12 through 18 there. Psalm 71, verses 12 through 18. It says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord, of the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Well, that goes right along with what we were just reading in Psalm 37. Here was one, again, the psalmist being old in years, but desiring to use that time and pleading with the Lord for that time and the opportunity to use that to teach others to that generation that now was those things of God. And aren't older servants of God very well equipped to be able to do that? I mean, they will have had a lifetime of study and learning and putting those things into practice to be able to teach others. So they are very valuable to God in that particular work. And that can be done. That's not just to be considered in a public manner, that is, from public teaching. That can be one of the ways. But how many opportunities are there for one-on-one teaching, teaching one's children or one's grandchildren or other family members or others in the church? I mean, there's so many opportunities to be able to interact with and encourage and strengthen and edify others. And that can be done and should be done every day. In fact, we know in Hebrews chapter 3 that it's the Lord's desire for us to have that kind of daily contact one with another. So this is not limited to when we are in our public assemblies. But in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, he says, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Based on what we are reading in the Psalms, are older Christians in a good position to be used by God to give that kind of daily exhortation to others that are in Christ? And they are very well equipped for that. And that is an opportunity, one of the ways that the Lord has given for them to bear much fruit for Him. Let's turn to Psalms 148. This one should sound familiar. Psalm 148. We sing this all the time because it's Song 148 in our song book. But let's read verses 7 to 13. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Does God desire any person to reach an age where they're no longer going to be engaged in seeking Him, learning of Him, teaching others about Him, praising Him, exalting Him, and glorifying Him in all the ways that God gives us to do that? Here He's calling on those that are old to continue to do that. And that needs to be done. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. It says, Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Well, certainly one of the great rewards that God gives to those that are older in years is to provide them with their grandchildren. But how many opportunities does that give someone who is a child of God to bear fruit, going along with what we were just reading? Is the blessing just to have the numbers to say I have this many grandchildren? It's not just for that. The more one has, it's a blessing from God. But how does one use that blessing? And what kind of opportunity is there for a grandparent to influence, to be an example, to teach their grandchildren? We have a very good example of that in the New Testament with one of the most righteous people that we read about in the Bible. One that we are told in the book of Philippians was unlike all others in his time. And that's what we're speaking about Timothy. In Philippians chapter 2, he says about Timothy in verses 19 to 21 of Philippians 2, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Timothy was different. He was not seeking his own. He was seeking only those things of Jesus Christ. Well, where did he learn to have such a faith in God and a love for God to seek after him? Well, we're told the answer to that question in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Well, here Paul is mentioning Timothy's mother and grandmother. Now, we know from elsewhere in Scripture, from the book of Acts and also in the book of Galatians, Timothy's father was a Greek, and so he was half Jewish and half Gentile by his lineage, but someone that had that was half Jewish, of course, by their reckoning, was all Jewish, but it was on his mother's side with his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. What did they do with him? They taught him God's word. But look at the credit that's given also to his grandmother there in the work that she did with him, with this young man, from his childhood, because in chapter 3, he goes into more detail about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." From a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. Well, who taught those Holy Scriptures to Timothy from the time he was born into this world? He had his mother and his grandmother, as we saw in chapter 1, that had that unfeigned faith in them, and they grounded, well, Eunice's son, Lois's grandson, they grounded him and taught him those Holy Scriptures, and he learned that from his childhood. And so there we can see an excellent example. And what that produced, the fruit that produced, they were bearing fruit when they were doing that teaching. But look at what that did down the line. And how many souls did that work that those two women did with Timothy? How did that impact, or how many souls did that impact? If we think of the work that Timothy did for the Lord. So if we're thinking of his grandmother, how many souls did she influence through her work with Timothy? Think of all that Timothy did, all the work that he did in serving with Paul in all the different places, all those that he taught, all of those that he converted, that he strengthened in the faith. And there was a part of that that goes back to the work that his grandmother did with him. So we have many good examples like that in Scripture. And that there's a great need for that right to this present day, of course. And let's turn now to the New Testament, to the book of Acts. In chapter 2, we see the Lord is still desiring for those that are old in years to be serving Him. And this was in fulfillment of a prophecy quoted from the book of Joel, but it was fulfilled here in Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, or 16 through 18. The Apostle Peter said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, there was a prophecy of the outpouring of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when it came to the miraculous works that were to be done in teaching God's Word, who did the Lord want to be involved in that? All of His servants. There was a role for women. There was a role for men. There was a role for the young. There was a role for the old. All had their part then in that work. But how many had their part in the work of God today? Of course, we don't have the miracles anymore, but the principle is still there, and God still desires for us to do that particular work, no matter what age we are, of serving Him and teaching His Word to others. We also have an example of that in the book of Luke in chapter 2, when Christ was still a babe and He was brought to the temple. And at that time when He was brought to the temple, there was a woman that we read about there in verse 36 named Anna. She was a prophetess. Luke 2:36 says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. So here was a woman, he says, was about 84 years old, and what did she do with her time? She spent all of her time, it says, she departed not from the temple, served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That's all she did at that age. She was still at it. She wasn't slowing down. She wasn't saying, I'm too old to do this now. I'm just going to turn that over to the young folks and let them do all that. The young people have their job. But who's going to replace the job of those that are older in the faith if they're not doing their job? God has a special role for them. It's good to see that particular example of that one Anna that was doing God's work still there at the age of 84. There's no reason to stop. She was one the Lord gave even a few extra years past that fourscore that we read about in Psalm 90. But she took that time, time that God gave her, that extra time that she was blessed with, and still used it to serve God diligently and faithful. And what a great example she is. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is very important in the body of Christ. The body is composed of many members, as we're going to read here. Just like our physical bodies have many different parts, so does the body of Christ. We're not all the same, and there are different roles for each one in the body as God has set every member in the body. And that is certainly going to include those that are older in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You think that includes those that are older? They're necessary. even though they may seem feeble, they are necessary. God has a good work to do through them in the body. And that's why he has them there. As we continue there in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Every member of the body of Christ is necessary. That certainly includes those that are older, as God has also put them in the body to do his work and to fulfill the role he has for them. That is a very special one. And we have some other scriptures that point out what is necessary for them to do and the role that they have in the body. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we have much of this chapter devoted to the subject of widows that are widows indeed, that are enrolled, that is, that they are on the role of being financially supported by the church. But there were very strict definitions for what was a widow indeed, and the principles that are taught there are very instructive as far as what God intends for those who are older in years to be doing in service to him, including the women, not just men. Here the subject is widows that are widows indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the chapter begins with general instructions in verses 1 and 2 and how to treat the different members of the body, whatever their gender or their age is. He says in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, so that would be that's an older man, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. So we are a spiritual family, but we should be treating the older men in the church as fathers and showing them honor as such, and deal with them in that way and treat them like we would a father, and should treat the older women as mothers with that kind of honor, and the younger ones as brothers and as sisters. That's the instruction in the first two verses. Then in verse 3 it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, now that's literally, if you look at the Greek word there, is the word for grandchildren. So it's not just limited to their immediate offspring, their children, but it extends beyond that. If there are those that are Christians and they have a mother or they have a grandmother that is older and has needs, who has first responsibility by God to fulfill those needs of that person? He puts that on the family members, not on the church. And that's the point that he's making there in verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. He uses that word requite, to return again, to treat as one has been treated. Well, there was a time in our lives when we depended on others, when we couldn't do things for ourselves, and we were at someone else's mercy to feed us, to clothe us, to take care of us in every way. And how much of that was done by our mothers or our grandmothers? And then what are we supposed to do when they get older and they have needs? We have a responsibility to requite that, to treat them, to do for them when they need it, as they did for us when we needed it. So that's first a responsibility for the family, the members of their family. He concludes verse 4 by saying, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And that's talking about those that don't take care of the ones in their own family that are Christians. They're denying the faith when they forsake that responsibility. Verse 9, he says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So he's showing the kinds of things that, here he says minimum 60 years old, but these are women that are above 60, what they're still doing as servants of God. Very busy, very diligent in serving the Lord. And these are the ones, if they don't have family members to help them, these are ones he's commanding the church to take care of. Because they are serving the Lord and they are bearing fruit for Him. And that's an example for all in their older age. Now, a little bit later in the chapter, verse 17, he turns the attention to elders in the church. Not elder in the general sense, like in verse 1, where he's talking about all older men in the church. But here, specifically about the office of an elder. In verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Again, it shows that principle that the gray-headed that are walking in righteousness are worthy of honor, and particularly those he mentions there. And if you look at the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, there are particular qualifications for those in the office of an elder, and those that are doing that, that certainly is worthy of value and weight by the fellow members of the body of Christ. In the book of Titus in chapter 2, he's going to deal with particular works for young and old, men and women, just as we've seen in some other passages tonight. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to bring this study tonight to a close with this particular reference. Titus chapter 2, let's look at 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then he'll turn his attention to young men after that. But right now our subject is about those that are older. And how much of those verses, how many of those verses, or how much of the teaching in those first five verses of this chapter, Titus 2, deal with those that are older, men and women. And he gives characteristics that should be fulfilled by older men and older women in God's church and the works that they need to be doing. Who better to teach the young ones than the older ones? Whether it be younger women learning from the older women or younger men learning from the older men. I mean, who better to teach the younger ones than those that are older, that have those years of experience in the faith and of knowing God's Word and of having lived those things and experienced those things. Going through marriage and having children and all those things, going through all those experiences, there's a lot to teach from God's Word and how to apply those Scriptures in one's life. And he has a very special role for those that are older in doing that, as he outlines it right there, as another example of how God intends to use those that are older in years in his service to bear much fruit for him, to glorify him, and to continue to be disciples indeed. We want to continue with this, Lord willing, next Sunday night, and we want to turn our attention to some of the excellent examples that we have in Scripture of older people. We've looked at a few of them tonight, but we want to look at some. We want to hone in on some that God particularly tells us about and ways in which they serve God even in their older years. And so much to learn from that. We want to continue with this, Lord willing, next Sunday night. But tonight is an opportunity right now for you, if you have not yet become a child of God, however old you are. If you're not a child of God, you need to be one. And the Lord commands that we obey the gospel of Christ, and by so doing, he's willing to adopt us as children in his family. But we do have to obey him. We have to do what he has commanded to become a Christian, and that includes our repentance and being immersed in water for the remission of our sins as we confess our faith in Christ before men. If you're ready to do that tonight, we're ready to assist you in obedience to the gospel. If you are a Christian, if you have gone astray from him or need repentance in any way, need the encouragement of your brethren here, this is an opportunity for you also to come forward. Anyone that needs to come, please do so now while we stand and sing.